way to explain or say how painful the hangover was today. In front of the toilet, hands and knees, trying to breathe in between the dry heaves. My baby made me some coffee, afraid that if I drink some, it's probably coming right back out me.
What's up, y'all? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a stacked show for you because it's Monday. My big thanks to my last guest, Professor Bill Whitford. Bill Whitford, an 84-year-old scholar. The man knows so very much, probably in his little pinky, more knowledge than I've accumulated over my entire life. Big thanks to Bill. We were talking gerrymandering, how that's not good for anybody, no matter what party you may think you belong to or what political leanings you've got. And really excited to talk with my next guest. Her name is Andrea Dukas. She's the Vice President of Health Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. And don't forget, everybody, because it is Monday at 3:30, I'm going to have Dom Salvia join me for a little bit of In Case You Missed It with Maggie and Dom. That's at the bottom of this very hour. But Andrea, thanks so much for making time. We need to get into the bizarreness of the appointment of RFK Jr. to head HHS, as well as the equally bizarre appointment of Dr. Mehmet Oz to head the Centers for Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security. Welcome to the show, Andrea.
Pleasure to be here.
Why is Donald Trump's appointment of RFK a really scary thing for Americans?
For so many reasons. So RFK Jr., what your listeners may not know, is that he was one of the primary voices in the movement to question the safety and efficacy of vaccines about 20 to 30 years ago, when the debate began. Really, like, it was sort of bubbling beneath the surface for a bit, but when the debate was first beginning about whether vaccines might cause autism, et cetera, it was this all unfounded conspiracy theories. But he was a very, very, very big voice that lended some air of legitimacy to this debate. And over the years, RFK Jr. has really leaned into this. He is more than a vaccine skeptic. He's openly hostile to vaccination. I don't know that he has come out to say that he believes any vaccine is safe and effective. But it's really troubling because that kind of rhetoric has real world consequences, right? We see a backslide in childhood vaccination rates. You see outbreaks of diseases that are entirely preventable popping up all over the country in places where vaccination rates have dipped. this sowing of distrust in accepted medical science is not something you want out of the person that is running the Department of Health and Human Services in this country. Apart from
Andrea,
vaccines.
We've actually got two cuts, Cardi, of... I will happily give all credit to John Oliver here. I shortened up some of his analysis here. But Cardi, if you've got it, give me a thumbs up. I'd like to take, this was about the autism vax hullabaloo, sure, that RFK was centered on. Can we take cut? This is going to be cut 8G. Cardi, let me know when we are ready to go.
We're good to go. Give me one second.
All right, Andrea, we're going to take a listen here. Again, folks, if you're looking for this, this was on John Oliver's Last Week Tonight, back in August of this year. So this was a recent take. Here we go. Let's take a listen.
Over the years, Kennedy's promoted a number of theories about vaccines, including how they supposedly cause autism. We've discussed his claim that a preservative called thimerosal was linked to autism in our piece on vaccines several years ago. Not only is thimerosal hasn't been in children's vaccines since 2001, except for the flu vaccine, and even then, there was and remains a version without thimerosal in it. But Kennedy parlayed the initial panic he helped cause into founding the Children's Health Defense, one of the country's leading anti-vaccine organizations. And he's continued to fearmonger about a connection between thimerosal and autism ever since. In 2015, he said of kids getting vaccinated, they get the shot, that night they have a fever of 103, they go to sleep, and 3 months later, their brain is gone. This is a holocaust, what this is doing to our country, which is clearly absurd. A vaccine cannot make someone's brain go away, although I'm increasingly believing that a dead worm might actually be able to. And if you don't see a certain cruelty in how Kennedy tends to talk about autistic people, you're not wrong. It goes well beyond the anti-vax community's general gross tendency to imply that they'd rather have a kid die from polio or measles than be diagnosed with autism. Because just listen to him here.
I bet that you've never met anybody with full-blown autism your age. You know, head-banging, football or helmet on, non-toilet train, non-verbal. I mean, I've never met anybody like that my age. But in my kids' age, now one in every 34 kids has autism, and half of those are full-blown, meaning that description.
Okay.
So John Oliver goes on to sort of, there's no such thing as full-blown autism. Mm-hmm. His language is just gross. I also wanted to give, I know this is going to take just a little bit of time, Andrea, but this is so important. I wanted to also take cut 8J. This is specifically about RFK's claims about the COVID vaccine. Because, again, Mr. Oliver does such an expert job of debunking some of the garbage here. Let's take a quick listen. Hang in there with me, Andrea, and everybody out there, because this stuff matters. Let's take a listen.
He thrives. And it may explain why his popularity took off during the COVID pandemic. There was a lot of uncertainty back then, and medical experts were understandably making mistakes and learning in real time. Kennedy saw that, and he pounced. He took a lot of big swings, including writing a book in which he claimed that Fauci was using COVID to execute a historic coup d'etat against Western democracy. And once again, his just asking questions caused real harm to real people. For example, he pushed the idea that the COVID vaccine was dangerous, especially to young people, even writing the forewords to this book called Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022, a compilation of young people who died suddenly, heavily implying their deaths were caused by the vaccine. And look, it is true that a very few young people reported heart complications after receiving the vaccine. But not only is the risk rare, and most patients felt better quickly, but importantly, in children and teens, the risks of getting COVID and developing severe illness that could seriously impact the heart are far greater than the risk of experiencing post-vaccine heart complications. Nevertheless, in that book's foreword, RFK wrote that it proves an undeniable and urgent reality laid out with facts that can be confirmed by any reader, point by point, page by page. He even went on Joe Rogan to give the book a hard sell.
It's the kind of book, if you have a skeptic and you can get them to sit down for 90 minutes with this book, when they get up, they will have converted. Mm. And it's really, it's sickening. I mean, it's terrible. These, you know, these beautiful children who were dying on the playing field, and COVID was killing people, but it was old people, yeah.
Cause unknown, the epidemic of sudden deaths in 2021 and 2022. Edward Dowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Died after first vaccine dose, dies at hospital. Football, died on the field.
Okay, set aside that Joe Rogan's just muttering random words off the cover with an energy level I describe as just ate a fistful of melatonin pills. That is a pretty hard sell there from RFK. Give this book to people for 90 minutes and they'll be converted. But here's the thing. The AP found that dozens of individuals included in the book died of known causes not related to vaccines, including suicide and choking while intoxicated. The book even includes one person who died in 2019. So unless the headline was Time Traveler Dies of COVID Vaccine, they don't really belong in there. But that's not all. Because when the book was first printed, one of the kids on the cover was Braden Fahey, who died after collapsing during football practice at just 12 years old. But we know for a fact that the COVID vaccine didn't kill Braden because he wasn't vaccinated. He died from a malformed blood vessel in his brain, and no one ever contacted his parents to ask about their son's death or for permission to use his photo, something they are understandably furious about.
It's just another gut punch, yeah. You know? We've been punched in the gut as hard as you can be punched in the gut, and this is just another one right after, you know?
You try so hard each day to, like, heal, and then you just have to take on a whole other nightmare, and part of you wants to just dismiss it and go, we've dealt with so much, we can't deal with anymore. But then you know you just have to do it for your son, and we can't as his parents look the other way.
That is awful. They've had to go out of their way to correct the record about their son's death in the face of someone who not only has the platform of a Kennedy, but also of a presidential candidate. Now, I should tell you, after that story, Braden was removed from the cover of subsequent editions of that book. But not only is the first version with him on the cover still selling on Amazon, even the newer edition, despite everything we just told you, still includes him inside the book itself. And the publisher's excuse for this is enraging because they argue to us this week that the book never specifically says that the people shown in it died from the COVID vaccine, just that it highlights a new trend of people dying suddenly for unknown causes, which is not what the book does at all. And it is definitely not what RFK did when he tweeted out its cover with Braden's picture on it and claimed the book showed the COVID shots are a crime against humanity. That tweet is still up, which is a little odd to me because what was it that Kennedy liked to say?
If somebody shows me a fact that I'm wrong, I'm going to change my opinion and I'll apologize.
Thank you for your patience, Andrea. I wanted to give you the opportunity to address RFK in a little bit more detail. One of the things that I find so frightening about him is that he says things that sound reasonable, but he is not reasonable. He does not change his mind. He is not accountable. He has not taken responsibility for the things that he said, even those things demonstrably false. When you have someone who prolifically lies and yet dresses it up so that it appears reasonable, and you put that person in charge of our public health apparatus, disaster will ensue, will it not?
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. What makes conspiracy theorists like RFK Jr. so effective is exactly what you just described. There's like a kernel of truth that they hit on, and then they build a house of cards around that. And, you know, under the guise of just asking questions, right? As if that's a sincere activity, right? Or, you know, being able to point to something like the food supply and the epidemic of chronic disease in America and among America's youth, which is true, right? That those are issues that are real. But you don't have to install someone who is to be the head of the Department of Health and Human Services who simultaneously believes that and that vaccines, like the COVID vaccine, is a crime against humanity. Plenty of people understand the need to make our food supply safer and healthier who aren't openly hostile to acceptable public health practice.
The meta point here is just because a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while doesn't mean yes. The squirrel ain't blind. Folks, that's Andrea Dukas. She's the Vice President of Health Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. RFK is a menace to our public health system. We're going to talk about the menace that Dr. Oz poses to Medicare and Social Security next on The Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked. I love the days when it shines. Whoa, let it shine. Sunshine, sunshine is fine. I feel it in my skin, warming up my mind. Sometimes you gotta give in to win. I love the days when it shines.